the company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Ahead of game number six, we are live at Bridgestone Arena on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Barry Trotz at 4:30 again ahead of game number six. And Barry Trotz is 2-0 when he comes on the show of the Predators winning. And that is exactly why we are having him on the program today. As much as we love his insight, it's we don't want to break up the mojo here, and that's the most important thing. Now, when it comes to the actual people on the ice who matter and will affect the game, I have my own opinions about the lineup. And I got to tell you, I'm worried they're not going to do either. There are two things I think have got to happen tonight. Number one, it's time to scratch Tommy Novak. I know they don't want to do it. I understand why they don't want to do it. I get it. He's got offensive skill. And again, last time I checked, the way you win in this league is to put the little black puck into the little white net. And he can do that. He's got offensive skill that other guys don't have. The problem is that, well, he hasn't done any of that this series. He hasn't really gotten close to doing any of that this series, and it doesn't look like he's going to do any of that this series, which makes me kind of nervous that it's going to be somewhat of a problem. And he's getting dominated physically, and he doesn't help you on the penalty kill, and he doesn't really do much on the second power play unit right now. And so while I hate the idea that you just signed the guy to a $3 million three-year extension, $3 million per year, but a three-year contract extension with the hope of him being somewhat of a core player and sitting him down, what kind of message does that send after you just signed him? At the same time, I'm like, I don't know if you can play in this series right now. And it's like, it's game six. We don't have time for hurt feelings. But when I listen to Andrew Burnett, again, these guys really don't give much away, when asked about lineups and things like that. But when I listen to Andrew Burnett talk about Tommy Novak, it sounds like Tommy Novak's playing.
Andrew, with Tommy Novak, seeing him playing on the first power play at practice, what are you hoping to see from him tonight? But more importantly, on special teams, what do you want to see him execute well?
Yeah, I think he's having a little bit of a hard time. They're doing a really good job. Some of the games, I've lost him a little bit. Obviously you're winning late in games and things like that. Maybe doesn't fit his style of play. I could, when Tommy's really skating is when he's really dangerous. And I think there's times a series where he really skated, didn't get rewarded. And there's times that I think he can skate more and just a little bit more from him. And maybe the power play, maybe you make a play and it catapults him kind of like it did during that stretch where, maybe he was not producing at the level he's used to. And he got a couple and then he took off. So that's what we're waiting for him to do.
They're hoping that their home run hitter is going to go up there and hit a home run. And Tommy Novak's kind of like that guy on a baseball team. Now, again, he's not going to bat third. He's not hitting cleanup. And he's not a 40 home run guy. But he is the kind of guy who may not be great with the glove. And in this case, he's not very good in his own end. But he's got a little pop in his stick. And what I think they're hoping is that they can get a little pop tonight. And they don't want to leave that on the bench. So I don't think they're going to scratch Tommy Novak, but I would. And I think, again, the encouragement of the if we just get him skating, if we can just get him going, and if he can just put one in there and then get going in the... I think that's wishful thinking, but I understand where it's coming from. Personally, I'd scratch him. And the number one reason I'd scratch him is because by limiting his ice time as much as they have on in even strength in this series, it really takes away from a guy like Evangelista and how much time he really spends out there. And I want Evangelista back on the ice more. The second is the defenseman decision. Luke Shen, I believe, is healthy enough to play after being sick in Game 5 and being scratched, and Tyson Barrie, who showed up 40 minutes before puck drop and got out there to warm up and ended up playing okay on Tuesday night. I want Tyson Barrie in. Andrew Burnett, I don't think, gave anything away when it came to Tyson Barrie and Luke Shen. Here's what he said about that today.
Yeah, Andrew, you said yesterday Luke Shen would be day-to-day. Just curious where, if he's going to be in the lineup tonight or not.
Yeah, we'll have to make some game-time decisions for us tonight. So he's one of them. I don't know how he's feeling.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we'll have some game-time decisions, and we'll figure that out. I want Tyson Berry in the lineup. And here's why I want Tyson Berry in the lineup. Because when he ran that power play unit, I don't think he went on the first power play, which was a disaster. I don't think he was on that first power play unit on Tuesday night. But then, after it stunk, they put him out there, and he was out there with Yossi, Forsberg, Nyquist, and O'Reilly. I want him on the power play unit. He makes a difference on the power play unit. Well, he's not that great in his own end, and there's a lot of defensemen on this team that I'm nervous about in their own end. Like Shin. Like Fabbro. I mean, I'm no offense to Fabbro. I'm worried about Fabbro in his own end. And while I think Fabro's a better defenseman as far as playing defense is concerned than Tyson Berry, he certainly, to me, does not have the pop that Tyson Berry has. Plus, we talk about playoff experience. We talk about these. Tyson Berry is an experienced playoff player. Like, I mean, he knows big games, and I do feel like he gave him just a little shot in the arm the other night. Let's see if it keeps going. It reminds me of a decision that Laviolette made in 2018 that I just still don't like, which was in game four at Winnipeg, he felt like they needed a little bit more toughness. So he inserted Scott Hartnell and he scratched Kevin Fiala. And I remember the day he did it and we were hosting the show, me and Floyd, and I said, you know what? And you guys know me, I'm not a defer to the coach kind of guy. But up until this point, Laviolette had won the President's Trophy and had been to the Cup Final the year before. So I'm like, he's got the skins on the wall to be able to make this decision and me say, okay, let's see what it does. Let's see what happens. And they won the game. And I think, Ian, didn't Hartnell score a goal in that game?
He might have.
I mean, it was a noticeable impact when they put Scott Hartnell in that game. And then they come back to Bridgestone Arena after they win game four in Winnipeg, and they come back for that pivotal game five, and they scratched him. And Laviolette got drugged by the then NBC crew for doing that. And I never understood it. You know, you make the move works. If it works, why change it? So those are the two moves I want to see. And quite frankly, I don't expect either of them. I expect Tommy Novak to play, and I expect Luke Shin to be back in the lineup because of his size. And not only do I expect those things, but I hear a lot of talk about 7D. Willie keeps bringing it up. You know, maybe they go 7D and 11 forwards. And I don't know about you, Ian, but I hate that.
I do not like that.
I hate that. It's like, roll your freaking four lines and let's go. But we shall see what they end up doing. Caleb says, who would you put out there over Tommy Novak? I'd put Yusso Parsonen in the lineup. And it's not that Yusso Parsonen has done anything that has made me say, oh, we got to put Parsonen in there. It's just, I'm scratching Novak, and it's him or Jarrett Anderson Dolan. So it will be him. Plus, Parsonen's got a big body, and big bodies matter in this series. Texture says they need to put somebody in at center to feed the puck to Evangelista because they're losing a lot of the time when Evangelista isn't getting any help. Agreed. And Evangelista is just getting better and better. Although, one thing was driving me crazy the other night was I want to say they were on the power play, and Evangelista was looking for, like, the perfect shot. It's like, Luke, shoot the puck, or at least get the puck on the net, and let's get some traffic, and it's not going to be perfect, baby. Like, just let it fly. Now, don't shoot it right into a defender and then have it go the other way, but let's, you know, go that route. The gates are open here at Bridgestone Arena. Again, 3 o'clock was when they opened. They want fans to leave early if you can to get here because the traffic is supposedly going to be a total nightmare. I mean, I'll say this, Ian. I got in here at about 1:15 today.
Okay.
The traffic downtown was wild. At 1 o'clock.
I can only imagine. Just sounds like I wouldn't say perfect storm, but a good one.
Well, here's the problem, right? I mean, obviously, there's a playoff game on this side of the river, and there's a Morgan Wallen concert on the other side of the river. But
right.
Here's what I think the real problem is. The real problem is the tourism And with the tourism, you get two things. Number one, you get all the little party bikes. And
the
party
buses.
Bikes, yeah, the bikes and the buses. And that's a disaster in and of itself. The second thing you get is you get these Uber drivers and Lyft drivers that just drive on in the right-hand lane, and then they just stop, and then they just let people out right there. And so now everybody behind them is all backed up.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's tourist season. It's May here, and it's raging.
I mean, it's woof. So if you can leave early to get to the game, leave early to get to the game. Corey Curtis, News 2, will join us next on the program. Again, we are live out here at Bridgestone Arena. Preds tonight, game number 6. Tune into 93.3 Classic Hits this Sunday for coverage of the Advent Health 400 at Kansas Speedway. Coverage begins at 1. The race starts at 2. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic Hits app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. Be sure to join Cromwell Media along with other local athletes, musicians, and the like at the Hermitage Golf Course on June 20th for the 615 Open. Make a difference while supporting Souls for Souls, because every $20 raised goes to a new pair of shoes for a local child experiencing homelessness. Sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. Corey Curtis, News 2, joins us as he always does on Fireball Hot Take Friday ahead of Game 6 tonight. Corey, what is your gut feeling right now going into Game 6?
Duh, I wish I could tell you I had one. You know, all I can tell you is this. I expect the Predators to play the same game that they have played virtually the entire series. I'm interested to see if Vancouver adjusts, because they're just having a hell of a time getting shots off at this point.
Yeah.
And I feel like if the Preds can get something to go, if they can get the power play started, you know, the series could really tilt in their favor.
Corey, what do you make of the fact that the Predators were in that, again, I don't want to just constantly, 2017. In 2017, though, the team was 9-2 at home in the playoffs. Since then, I mean, they lost the 3 games to Winnipeg. They lost games 1 and 5, big pivotal games in the Dallas series in 19. They lost game 6 and got eliminated against Carolina. Throw away the Colorado game, because the Colorado series, because I mean, they couldn't have, they had no shot at winning that series. But they lost games 3 and 4 here. What has happened to Bridgestone Arena?
Well, I don't think anything's happened to Bridgestone Arena. I think it's on the players. You know, you have a different group of players. Now, I understand Roman Josi and Philip Forsberg, UC Saros are all still here, but you got a different core of players. There were a certain group of guys there, you know, led by, you know, Mike Fisher and company, who weren't going to lose at home for whatever reason. And, you know, this team shouldn't be 0-2 at home in this series, but they are, because they lost composure at home. And that's a little unusual. But while you've got some older guys on the team, you got a lot of young guys on this team. And, you know, that might just be part of the growing up process, you know, for them. That's about the best excuse I can come up with. But you need to take care of the home ice.
Corey Curtis, News 2, is our guest on the program. So Casey DeSmith, I think, is healthy enough to play. And then there's, I think it's Arturas Shelofs. Did I get that right, Max?
That's pretty good.
Arturas Shelofs has been the goalie the last couple of games. One, do you care who's in net for Vancouver? I think it's going to be Shelofs, because he was first off the ice at skate this morning. But who knows, the way they play the, you know, the games this time of year. Do you care who's in net for Vancouver? And if you do, which one do you think the Predators would be better off facing?
I really don't, because I don't think it's made much of a difference in this series. I would like to see the Predators get some more prime scoring opportunities, no matter who's in the net. I understand there's a priority on putting pucks on the net, and you know, we always like to say no shot is a bad shot, and there's a lot of truth to that, because you can, you know, you look at Roman Josi's goal, the other day, that was not a thing of beauty, but it found its way in. But I think if they could set up some more prime scoring opportunities, no matter who's in the net, you know, they might have a better opportunity of getting something across there. But, you know, as long as they're continuing to dominate puck possession and keeping the puck down there and putting pressure on them and not allowing the Canucks, that's more of what I'm concerned with than DeSmith versus the other guy.
So what the thing I think about both guys, I think they're allowing a lot of prime rebounding opportunities for the Predators to put the puck back in, but they're just never, it seems like the Predators are just never there to clean the mess up. And I think some of that is by design, because I think what Vancouver's doing, the reason why they shoot it 20 times a game is I think they're protecting the goalies so that when there is a rebound with either guy, then they've got their big bodies like Zadorov and Myers and Soucy and those guys that are in front of the net to clean it up. And yeah. I was joking with Max and the Animal during the break, and I said, if Patrick Hornquist was on this team, he'd have 10 goals in this series for just standing right in front of the net. Yeah, Scotty Hartnell, they just put the puck right in the net. Is there somebody on this team that can play that role, that can maximize what I think is the key to the whole series, which is taking advantage of the rebounds that both Shelovs and DeSmith have been giving up?
Well, I think, unfortunately, the guy who's probably the best at it right now is Philip Forsberg. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's the guy who's the best with his stick around the net at scooping something up. But he's also the guy who's probably the best at creating shot opportunities for himself, you know, as well with this team. So maybe that's a change for the Preds in this game is they want to park him more in front and have, you know, O'Reilly try to put more shots on the net along with Gus Nyquist and see if Phil can make some stuff happen. But you're right. I mean, look, Zadorov's a great, big, giant Sasquatch of a dude. And he's going to clean up a lot of people around the net right now.
Corey Curtis is with us, News 2 on the program. Do you think if this gets to Game 7 that the Predators will go back to Vancouver and win a third game?
You know what? Again, yes, I do. Because it's a Canadian hockey team. And they can blow it.
Corey, I completely agree with you. I have this feeling in my gut, and we've been doing this so long now that it's like each series is individually different, or each game is individually different throughout the course of a series. So like what happened in Game 5 has nothing to do with what's going to happen tonight. But I just feel like if they win tonight, you know, Vancouver at home, Game 7, after they thought they had it in the bag up 3-1, I think the pressure and everything else, I feel like they're going to win a Game 7 in Vancouver, and that's why tonight I'm very, very nervous about tonight, because I have this feeling it's like, get tonight, and you're probably going to be going to Edmonton.
Yeah. Yeah, I just remember all those Canuck fans carrying Stanley Cups after winning Game 1. And I was just like, you guys are putting the cart a little bit before the horse here. This is a long grind to get there.
Plus, we'll see you know, that two of 19 on the power play so far. Let's see, you know, if they end up playing Edmonton in the next series, let's see if that continues on path. Corey Curtis with us, News 2. What do you think about lineup changes? If you were the coach, would Novak be in? Would Barry be in? Would Shen be in? How would you manage it?
I might stick with Barry for the power play, and it might be time to put a bigger body on the ice for Tommy Novak, and maybe, you know, you can get a bigger body to be a net presence instead of having Tommy Novak out there. He's had a really strong year, but he's been a ghost in this series.
Yep.
He's not built for this series. And, you know, that's no slight against him. It's just not a good matchup for him. And it might be time to give somebody else, you know, I don't know if Parsonen's the guy or not, but he's a bigger body. And he's good at creating space with his body. You know, maybe it's time to give him a look and give him a shot. You know, it's taking a big chance. You know, you're in an elimination game, but you know these are the decisions that you know Barry and Coach Burnett get paid to make. And by the way, both coaches up for the Jack Adams.
Yep.
So I mean, we're looking at two teams that the whole league is saying has overachieved this year.
You know, when I would watch Rick Tocchet on TNT, and John Hines was the coach of the Predators, I used to sit there in front of my TV thinking, why can this guy not be my coach?
He's good.
He's a good coach.
He's a good coach.
You know, it reminds me of the Carolina series when they played Rod Brind'Amour, and I'm like, that's a good coach. And yeah, that's how I feel about Tocchet.
I was really impressed with him after the Canucks came back and won Game 4. And just listening to how he handled that victory and how he kind of compartmentalized the whole thing. You know, he was doing big picture thinking right there. He wasn't reveling in the moment. And I was pretty impressed by him.
Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's your hot take this week, Corey Curtis?
This is like an old one, but it just comes up and it drives me freaking insane. The moment the Preds are down 3-1, we've got people on the radio and on social media, see, they should have sold off. They should have sold off.
Oh, yeah.
It just kills me. Look, 8 teams are going to move on. 8 teams are going to go home. That's the way it works. And the 8 teams that are going to go home should not have all sold off during the trade deadline, okay? 8 are going to win, 8 are going to lose. That's the way it works. Sometimes you play well and you lose anyway, all right? Like the Preds in this series. We could argue this series should be over easily.
Sure.
Or they should be playing to move on tonight easily. But it's not the way it works because it's the playoffs. And just because it doesn't work out your way all the time doesn't mean you shouldn't take part in it. That's just dumb.
Well, I mean, here's my thing, right? So 2 years ago, they played Colorado. They got swept. That team, no disrespect to anybody, that team had no chance of winning a playoff series or going to the cup. This team, I mean, again, to your point, this team very easily could be up in this series. Or this team is a competitive team. And, again, we talk about, like, each game being independent of each this being independent, whatnot. Like, everything is independent of each game and this series, I mean, easily go, you could win the next series. You could win this series and win the next series. So if you're going to sit there and say they should have sold, why play? Why play? Why
exactly.
Watch? Why care? If you're like, oh, if we don't win the championship, then we're all stupid for thinking we could have competed for it. Why?
Unless you're picking in the top three, it really doesn't matter.
I agree.
You're not going to get a generational player at 4 or 5. I mean, look, I mean, I understand. Believe me, I have beat this drum more than anybody that the reason Chicago, Pittsburgh, Tampa, the reason they've all got multiple cups is the same, because they sucked for multiple years and landed generational players, multiple generational players in the draft. They were fortunate. They were terrible at the right time, and they picked the right guys, and that was the key.
You know, Corey, is Bob not on the news today?
I don't know. I'm not there.
I just saw him walking by. I know you're off on Fridays, too. I just saw him walking by here at the arena in a Philip Forsberg jersey. Bob got the memo. He's here early.
Bob's got tickets. I heard Davis Nolan's on the plaza, so everybody look out.
There you go. I mean, I saw Bob. I want to be like, Bob, what am I doing talking to Corey? We got Bob.
Yep.
Yeah, Bob Mueller was just walking around the concourse. I'm like, what am I, you know, Corey's, no offense, but
you know.
Go ahead.
Bob plays hockey.
Does he?
Yeah. Yeah.
So then why are we talking to you? We should be talking to him, getting a breakdown.
You should. Far greater man than I am.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot right now. Even though I already asked you for your hot take. Who wins tonight? What score?
3-2 Nashville.
Oh! Okay. I hope you're right. Corey Curtis, News 2, as always on Fireball Hot Take Friday. Corey, great stuff. Appreciate you, bud.
Have a great weekend.
That makes me feel a little bit better. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm anxious. And I wasn't anxious and nervous before game 5. At least I don't think I was. Ian, did I Tuesday seem anxious, nervous?
Well, I think you pretty much expected them to lose.
No, but remember at the end of the show, I said they were going to win.
Yeah, I guess maybe you did say, I think I have a feeling they might win tonight. I don't know. I think you were reserved for the series to be over, so probably not as nervous as tonight, no.
I thought it was something like that. I did say that on the radio yesterday. Yeah, it was me. So yesterday on the radio when we said people needed to come early, I joked with Hal. I said that Max Herz will be signing autographs. We have 2 fans that are here early. Congratulations, by the way, on getting here early. But have dropped off 2 white napkins for Max Herz to sign autographs. Max, personalize them, best wishes. These people need good wishes. Man, what have we gotten ourselves into? This is the anxiety that's like taking over. This is why people love the draft show so much, is because the anxiety gets through the roof. I don't know what's going to happen, and I start going crazy. Apparently, that's what's going on here. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, executives around the NFL had some things to say about the Titans draft. I was surprised. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 1025, 106 for the game.
Something that's not, you know, documented or that has been reported is we actually went down to visit with him and the family. because we wanted to know more and spend more time with not only him but his family and see the people that he surrounds himself with. So myself, Callie, Tracy Rocker, and Anthony Robinson, you know, we flew down, you know, to his hometown and spent the morning with him and his mom and his brother and his grandfather and really, you know, got to know him as a person and kind of what the expectations would be for us if he was here. And, you know, kind of put that on the line. And we had some tough conversations, you know, while we was there. And not only tough conversations with him, but tough conversations with his family in the room, with the understanding that it's going to take all of us, you know, just like it would be with any other player, just like it's going to be with JC. There's an adjustment period that all these guys have to go through, that not only it's going to take us, but it's going to take the people that they spend the most time with outside of here to help us with that. And so we wanted that to you know, come across with his family, have a strong relationship with his representation at Clutch Sports and Nicole Lynn. And so being able to have all those different touch points, we had a lot of information, you know, prior to everything. And again, us going down, taking that trip to spend time with him and his family is what made us comfortable making this pick.
That was Rand Carthon after they drafted Tavondre Sweat. Ian, I've been waiting for it. It came out this morning. Mike Sando in The Athletic, the unnamed executives breaking down people's drafts.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that the executives were not as harsh on the Tavondre Sweat pick as I thought they were going to be.
Okay, good.
So this was Mike Sando in The Athletic. He always does this after free agency, during the season, after the draft. You know, unfiltered. Here's what the unnamed executives think about whatever. So here's what they think about the Titans in the draft. Four separate executives talked about the Tavondre Sweat pick. Let me just throw this out of the way. There was one executive that really liked the J.C. Latham pick and was like, this kid could be an incredible player. So no problem there on J.C. Latham. But on Tavondre Sweat, the first one, oh, God. One said, if they get him going, it's going to be a hell of a combo in reference to him and Simmons. And let me say this, I agree. But the big phrase there is, if they get him going. Another executive said, quote, they have more willingness to take risks. Simmons has been a great pick. We'll see on Sweat. And again, we've talked about this. The red flags, Farley, Julio, Clowney, Isaiah Wilson. You know, this team is not afraid of taking a red flag. And I think it maybe got the last guys fired. But you know what? If you love the guy and you're willing, if you're willing to lose your job over being wrong about being able to change somebody or to get somebody to be able to get in line, then fine, take the risk. And I think that's the way that this executive felt, was like, hey, man, the Titans, they take a lot of risks. And it's hard to argue that the Titans don't take a lot of risks. Sando writes in his column, quote, Sweat's weight was a popular topic after he declined to weigh in at the Senior Bowl. He weighed 366 at the Combine. Scouts told The Athletic's Dane Brugler that Sweat played around 380 last season. A third executive said, quote, this guy is going to break your heart. And then a fourth executive said, quote, at worst, he will control the A-gaps, which is valuable. There is real value in that. It's just, where do you take that pick? So the fourth guy is basically saying, hey, he's a big old fatty that will stuff up the middle. And like Ted Washington and Sam Adams and, you know who I'm talking about, DJ Reader, you know, the big fatties. He'll eat up that space, but do you use that with the 38th pick? That's what the fourth guy said. The third guy said again, he's going to break your heart, which a lot of you don't want to hear. So all in all four kind of had the same theme, right? The red flags. They think they're real. And one of them thinks the Titans like to take red flags, which, again, as we went over this week, and people got pissed about when we went over it, the Titans do invest in red flags. I mean, they're willing to take the risks. Number two, the executives kind of feel the same way I do, which is if you can get this big guy in check, he's going to be a good player. I mean, I've said this time and time again, that I love the player and I love the fit with Simmons because I do think he's going to rush the passer more than people think. And I do think that he's one of those guys that you can win a championship with. If you get him in line. But that's not a little if for me. That's not, you know, O.J. Simpson wrote a book called If I Did It. And when he lost the rights to the book, to the Goldman family, after he lost that criminal trial, the Goldman family took over the publishing of the book, and they made the word "if" as little as possible so that the cover looks like "I did it." Well, that's a little if. I'm using a big if. That's a big if you get him in line. The third executive saying he'll break your heart. Ian, I think we should change that from "this guy will break your heart" to "this guy will get you fired."
Yeah, maybe.
Because if, again, we always talk about best case scenario. If worst case scenario happens, or what other teams seem to think is a likely case scenario, I think you should be fired.
If it breaks your heart as a GM, it's probably not a good sign.
No. Especially if you flew the entire consortium down there to Texas to go visit with his family, and then you came back and told the owner, "Oh, no, I love the player. I love the character." And then he burns you. That gets you fired in the NFL. And there's no way around it. It's just reality. And then the fourth executive is kind of like, at worst, he's a big fat nose tackle. You just don't take it at 38. But I really think that there's more talent with those fast feet than him just being a big fat nose tackle. And I would agree. If you just want a big fat nose tackle, you should have just signed DJ Reader and used the 38th pick on a more premium position. But they think, and I actually agree with this line of thinking, which is he can be more than just a big fat nose tackle. So all in all, I was surprised. I was surprised that it wasn't harsher. I was surprised there wasn't one in there that was like, "I can't believe they did that." Though the one of the executives saying that he's going to break your heart, that's pretty close. But maybe I was just expecting it to be a lot worse. And I think, again, the feeling around the league is this dude's got a lot of talent if you can harness it. If you can harness it. And I would not have picked him at 38. When Charles Robinson said this on Robbie and Rex Road yesterday, where he said some teams moved him off of the board, you know, to the sub board, which means like, okay, we get in the fifth round, then we can take him because it's not as
the
valuable
value
of a
board.
Pick.
Yeah, the value board, yeah.
So that they moved him, you know, to the other board. And that's probably what I would have done because, again, I live by the philosophy that fat guys stay fat, dumb guys stay dumb, and injured guys stay injured. But, again, like they said, the Titans like taking risks, so we shall see. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. So, I've gotten a lot of people mad this week when Rand Carthon came out and said that, he got a GM that said, I would have taken him if you didn't take him. Seemed like CYA. I said I didn't believe it. And then Dustin in Nashville was like, no, he said the same thing about Colton Dowell last year and Peter Skoronski. And then sent me the video and the clips and whatever. And again, it seems like a bullcrap story. And I just said, hey, like it seems like it's bullcrap. And so why would the general manager feel the need to, use a fake GM to validate his picks? Joe Rexroad was not happy about that. We will discuss that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. So on three separate occasions, in three separate interviews, Rand has told the same story about getting texts from his friends around the league about how he made a great pick. And so am I really supposed to believe that every time he makes a pick, some general manager texts him and says, I was going to pick him? Because that seems kind of far-fetched, especially when it's Skoronski, Colton Dowell, and Tavondre Sweat.
The Colton Dowell one is interesting there.
I mean, how would, like,
our head coach actually, this guy. Actually, so why'd you take him to the sixth?
See, that one makes me think it's the truth. Like who would even, no one was ripping him for Colton Dowell. Who cares?
So does it
another wonderful investigation by Jared.
Adding up. So you think he's telling the truth?
I have no idea.
No. I need a yes or a no.
I have no idea.
This is binary.
Jared, do you think that GMs don't constantly text each other about crap like this? Like, every time I do a fantasy draft, I bitch about every time someone's like, oh, my God, you seriously took him? He was my next pick. That's all I do in a fantasy draft.
That was Robbie and Retro this morning, and Joe would not answer the question. He would not answer. You heard me right there. I said, so do you believe that he's telling the truth? Do you believe that the same story that he told about Tavondre Sweat is the same story that he told about Peter Skoronski is the same story that he told about Colton Dowell. Do you believe it? And Joe would not say yes. In fact, they came back from break, and I texted Robbie because Joe was just, you know, every time I go on there, you know, even without me, I give them an extra segment of talking points. And I said to Robbie, I texted in all caps, for the record on the air, I need to know if Joe believes Rand Carthon or not. That's all I need to know. Yes or no? And Joe even then wouldn't answer the question. Joe's response was, quote, I need him to stop using the text line during our show. Which is also, by the way, an unfair ask, because during Jared versus Joe on Wednesdays, Joe's in the text line. So, I mean, he's saying don't do this. And what this is what I love is just classic deflection, right? He knows it's bullcrap. Like, he knows it, but he won't say it. Because then he knows if he says it, it'll give me the satisfaction of being like, see, even Joe said it. And that's what's happened for the most part with this, like, Rand Carthon GM friend texted me, said he would take the pick. I don't want any piece of Joe. I did a straw poll yesterday of the text line when we did this. 50% of the text line thinks Rand's lying. 50% think that Rand is lying. 40% from my straw poll, which apparently is how Ian, our state government, does business anyway, so why can't we use it on the show?
A.
Everybody say aye. All right, ayes have it. 40% of my straw poll think that Rand's lying, but they were mad at me for bringing it up. And then 10% was mad at me, and I have no idea if they think Rand's lying or not. Like, I have no idea if they think he's lying or if they just, you know, go ahead, just whatever. I mean, it's like, nobody actually believes this. And if you want to get mad at me for bringing it up, don't get mad at me. Get mad at the person for telling such a far-fetched story three times to back his pickup. Everybody's crushing you for this pick. And it's like, well, I had a GM text me saying that, oh, no, I couldn't have traded down for this pick. Who? Who's GM? Let me say this, so that there is no ambiguity, no deflection, unlike a certain one of our two morning hosts. Let me say this. If I see that text message, like let's say that they show me a text message and Adam Peters of the Commanders texted Rand and said, good pick, I would have taken him at 50, whatever. Okay. Then I will apologize. I will admit it. I won't say who it was that texted him, but I will, hat in hand, 2 o'clock, the day that I see it, apologize. But I just don't buy it. And when you say, why would he do that? I mean, the answer, generally speaking, is that's what insecure people do. Well, why does Rand Carthon care about what everybody thinks about his picks? I don't know. But I remember last year when people didn't like Will Levis, and he said at that press conference, we need to be positive. This is the best night of their life. They're getting picked in the NFL draft. And it was so embarrassing and so insecure that even Vrabel sitting right there was like, yeah, if this is the best night of your NFL career, you probably didn't have a very good career. Like, come on now. I don't mind. And then you're going to say, oh, this is you just trying to go up. No. If you say something, if you offer it into evidence, and it looks and smells like bullcrap, I'm going to call you out on it. I don't care if you're the GM or the coach or whoever. I like Vrabel plenty. I didn't have anybody that said, you hate Vrabel, until Vrabel got mad at me for those New England comments. I didn't have anybody ever say that. But I used to call Vrabel out on his stuff all the time, too. If I think you're lying, I don't, you know, come on now. 615-737-1025. Again, I'm reading through the text. It's all the same. It's, again, on this show, because I was reading the text this morning, the text line blew up on Robbie and Rex Road. And again, my straw poll of when we did it yesterday was 50% think Rand's lying, 40% think that Rand's lying, but they're mad at me, and 10% just mad at me. this morning on Robbie and Rex Road, when I looked at the text line afterwards, it was like 95% just mad at me. It's amazing. These people that are like, why do you put Jared on the air? And I said to Robbie today, I saw him at the arena, I said, did that blow your show up? He's like, yeah, it did. Like, that was the topic that got everybody all worked up and everything else and whatever. One texter says, I believe 100% that Rand lies 80% of the time. I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to say, like, this will be the first time that we've caught Rand fibbing. You know, I mean, I'm trying to think off the top of my head because there have been a couple. I mean, especially when he got up there and said that the ball didn't bounce their way. I thought that was embarrassing. That was embarrassing. That's what he thinks of the fan base. Woo. I'm just saying. You know what OJ would say? I'm just saying. Take care. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. This one texter's all mad because I'm not talking about the Predators. We will talk about the Predators coming up next because Barry Trotz is joining us at 4:30 to keep the mojo alive. Getting 2-0 when Barry comes on the show. But I feel like tonight is different than every other game so far in this series. I'll explain why and how, and we'll do it next. Let's talk about Twice Daily. That's right. I love Twice Daily. Twice Daily is my go-to spot. I was at Twice Daily earlier today. And Twice Daily has all of your cravings, and you can save on every single visit. Stop in and get rewarded with Twice Daily. I got rewarded today. I showed them my app. Bing. They scanned it right there off my phone. It was great. All you need to do is join that Twice Daily Rewards program to unlock special discounts, savings, enter their sweepstakes, and so much more. Try their new wraps, the Italian, the ham and cheddar, the turkey and Swiss, the Nashville hot chicken, and they're all made to order with your favorite toppings so that when you download the Twice Daily app, you can order ahead. Or at Twice Daily, it's snack time all the time, and they got favorites like chicken fingers, tater rounds, and new pretzels. So Twice Daily, get there, download the app. What are you craving?